Hey, when y'all were praying a minute ago, it reminded me of the first mission trip that I went on overseas. I went to Korea, South Korea. We flew into Seoul, spent the night, went to the Seoul train station, and traveled by speed train down about halfway through the country, down to a town, a small town of 2 million, by the name of Taejon, and there we worked with some churches. And the church we were working with, first time I'd ever been around the Korean culture, and certainly first time I'd been out of country. I couldn't understand anything, obviously, for the language issues. But what I knew when it was time to pray, and the pastor asked the people to pray, you know what happened? Everybody prayed out loud. Everybody. And I don't mean they whispered. They prayed loudly out loud. And I have to admit, at first, it kind of threw me a curveball. Oh, well, that's kind of odd. It wasn't odd. And it was a joy. I didn't understand a word they were saying. I didn't need it. They weren't praying to me, so it didn't matter what I understood. They were praying to the Lord. He understood every word of it. But what a joy it was to hear the voices of God's people crying out to Him together. And even though I did not understand the Korean, I understood the heart behind those that were praying, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, we're going back to our study of spiritual gifts tonight. I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is we did run some more of the list of the gifts, the 7 motivational gifts and the characteristics. Those are back in the back if you did not pick up those already. I hope we'll have enough. I've had to run them 3 different times, which is a good thing. And they're back there this evening. The bad news for you tonight is nothing I'm going to say tonight is printed. So you're going to have to keep up with me, and you can't do that. I have no clue whose notes those are in the bulletin tonight. I don't know where that came from. Maybe I'm not supposed to be speaking tonight. Maybe whoever wrote that outline needs to come do the Bible study tonight. I don't know. But I don't know whose that is. We're not doing that tonight. What I want to do this evening is I want to quickly review the last couple of weeks on the motivational gifts. I want to deal with some general comments about motivational gifts again. And then we'll begin, I think, being able to take a look at the ministry gifts and the manifestational gifts. And wherever I get to tonight at 7:15, we're going to put a comma, and I'll pick it back up next week, okay? Because it's going to probably take me 2 Wednesday nights, maybe 3 Wednesday nights, to get through those ministry gifts and the manifestational gifts. Over these past few weeks, we've looked at scriptures, the main scriptures, teaching us about spiritual gifts, and I shared with you how scripture refers to 3 distinct categories of spiritual gifts. Now, all of them are spiritual gifts. Please understand that. But Paul mentions them in a different way. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4, 5, and 6, he writes the following. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So as Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and really he's laying a foundation here in these opening verses of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians about correcting their misuse and misunderstanding of spiritual gifts, he talks about 3 distinct categories of gifts. He talks about gifts, he talks about ministries, he talks about effects, all referring to spiritual gifts. And for the sake of teaching and remembering these categories, I shared with you, we'll call the gifts, that category, the motivational gifts. The ministries we call ministry gift. The effects we call the manifestational gifts. The motivational gifts are listed in Romans 12, verses 6 through 9, and there are 7 in number. And I personally believe, and I shared with you why, each Christian has one basic motivational gift, and it's to be the primary gift that they focus on. So out of those 7 motivational gifts that Paul lists there in Romans 12, you as a believer have one of those gifts. Then you move to the ministry gifts. Those are listed in Ephesians 4:11 and 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 to 30. There are either 9 or 10 gifts in number, depending on how you define them and list them. And I'll explain that to you as we get to them a little bit later. And then the manifestational gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. And there are nine of those gifts in number. What I want to do, again, very quickly, just in review, is to remind you quickly of the definition of those seven motivational gifts. Prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the motivation to express God's truth from His Word in order to exhort, edify, convict, and console believers, and to convict and convince non-believers of God's truth. A gift of prophecy, a person who has it has a burning desire to be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." The gift of serving, that gift is the capacity to unselfishly meet the needs of others through practical service. It is the motivation to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. And thank God for the people in our churches who have that gift of service. The gift of teaching is the ability to instruct, explain, or to expose biblical truth in such a way as to cause believers in the church to understand biblical truth and to be able to acquire the truth for their own lives. Of some of the people that I've been associated with over the years who had the spiritual gift of teaching, they had a unique God-given ability, Spirit-given ability to take the truth of God's Word and explain it so it could be understood and applied. And that's the heart of a person with the gift of teaching. The gift of exhortation is the grace to effectively encourage and advise people to take action in terms of applying scriptural truth, or to encourage people generally with scriptural truth, or to comfort people through the application of spiritual truth and scriptural truth to meet their everyday needs. The person with the gift of exhortation knows how to encourage others and how to exhort them on in their walk with God. The person with the gift of giving is the capacity to give liberally to meet the needs of others, and yet to do so with a purity of motive which senses that the giving is a simple sharing of what they have to those who are in need. The gift of administration involves the capacity to manage details of the service functions within a local church. Somebody once put it this way: it is the spiritual ability to organize the church. And while you don't need many of those, you need some if the church is going to function properly. And then we saw the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is the capacity both to feel sympathy with those in need and to manifest this sympathy in some practical and helpful way with a cheerful spirit, so as to encourage and help those who are in need. It is the motivation and the passion to identify with and comfort those who are in distress. Now, that's, again, just a simple, quick definition, again, of what we've looked at the last couple of weeks. Now, before I started explaining those seven motivational gifts to you in detail, I shared with you two examples of how those gifts would work in different given situations. You remember that? I shared with you one, here's seven people in a church who each one of those seven has one of those seven motivational gifts and how they would see things differently in the church. And then I read one to you about how you go to a dinner, Mary's or the lady of the house is preparing the meal and bringing out the dinner, she trips and the dinner goes everywhere. And seven guests that are there, each representing different gifts, all respond to her in a different way. Now, that might not have meant anything to you when I read it the first time. It probably maybe confused you more. Let me read those two examples again to you. I think it will help you even better understand how people can see things differently in the church, and it's not a matter of one being right, one being wrong. They're all right. But listen, here's the person. If you were running the church, or if you're the one responsible for running the church, which of the following would be the most important to you? Person with the gift of prophecy, they would want more preaching that exposes sin, proclaims righteousness, and warns of coming judgment. Person with the gift of mercy, they would want more programs that care for those in need. both financial and physical needs, with an emphasis on meeting the needs of others. A person with a gift of exhortation, they would want more people who will do one-on-one counseling to instruct others, and more people in the church that would be encouragers to those around them. A person with a gift of administration, they would want more organization. So we will have a smooth-running church with more communication in order that things will be done decently and in order. Person with a gift of teaching, they would want more in-depth Bible study. The gift of giving, that person would want to see more people giving so the church can do more ministry to those not only in their church but in their community. And the person with the gift of service, they would want more help in putting into practice what they've already learned. They want things to be made very practical and simple, and they want to see other people involved in serving in the church. Now again, which one of those are more important? It's not a matter of one being more important than others. Now Paul does tell us in our list of scriptures to desire prophecy, the proclamation of God's word. And that goes on to other into other areas of importance. But all these spiritual gifts are necessary. They're all important. That's why spiritual gifts are taught to teach unity within the church, not that we get conflicting views, but so that we have a full picture of what the church ought to become. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I think if you really set up a church organization like it ought to be set up, on your major committees, you ought to have one person. Each one of those motivational gifts ought to be represented by somebody on that committee. That way you get a whole picture of what's going on and what God might want to do. A funny example was, here are seven people who joined a family for dinner one evening. The seven motivational gifts are represented in that group. The host is bringing out the food, and she spills it. She drops the tray, and it's a mess. Person with the gift of mercy, don't feel badly. It could happen to anyone. And her motivation would be to relieve the embarrassment. Person with the gift of prophecy, that's what happens when you're not careful. The motivation is to correct their life. Serving, oh, let me help you clean it up. The motivation would be to help meet the need. Teaching, the reason that the dessert fell was that it was too heavy on one side. The motivation would be to discover why it happened. Exhortation, next time, let's serve the dessert with the meal. The motivation would be to correct the future. Giving, I'll be happy to go and buy a new dessert. The motivation would be to give to a tangible need. And I love this one. Administration, Jim, would you go get the mop? Sue, would you please pick it up? Mary, would you help me fix some other dessert? The motivation would be to achieve the immediate goal of the good of the entire being. Well, that's how people are different, who are gifted differently. And that's why some people in the church, people seem like at times they don't always see eye to eye. That's why if you ask someone, what's the most important ministry of the church? We don't always think the same. It may well depend, your answer may well depend on how you're gifted and what your passion, what your motivation is according to the way that God has given you. You'll also remember that I used the example of a church running 100 church members, and I demonstrated the percentages of people in that church that would have these seven gifts. Now, this is not infallible. It's just from observation over the years. But I do this to let you see what gifts are the most common in a church running 100 people. And this is what I would say. If you've got a church, 100 members, and you needed to break it down percentage-wise, 40% of that 100-member church would have the gift of service, 30% would have the gift of mercy, 10% would have the gift of exhortation, 10% would have the gift of giving, 10% would have the gifts of prophecy, teaching, and administration. Did I get 100% on that? I think I did. I think if you added up right, I did. Now, what I find really interesting of that is, what two gifts do you find the most of in a local church? Mercy and serving. Do you know why? Because folks, from a practical standpoint, from a ministry standpoint, those two are the most important in God's economy: serving and mercy. You don't need a lot of people with the gift of administration. Oh my goodness, too many of our churches, we have too many chiefs, not enough Indians. You do not need a lot of prophets in the church. It would be a very negative place to be around if you did. You don't need a lot of people with even the gift of teaching. In fact, over my experience over the years, I know there are a lot of people who teach in a local church, but it's not because they have the gift of teaching, it's because they have other gifts. They just use those gifts through teaching, but teaching's not their passion. It's been my observation that they're only, we're using the 100-member church, there'd only be a couple of true biblical teachers that would be a part. That's why you find warnings in the scripture about those who teach the scriptures. So the vast majority of the people of church would have the gift of service and the gift of mercy, and these are the two greatest needs. So don't let anybody ever tell you that if you think you have the gift of mercy, you're not needed, or if you think you have the gift of service, you're not important. Those two are very important, and God sees to it that His church has a lot of those as they minister. Someone else, and this is an observation, and this is just general tonight, somebody made a good observation about these gifts that I think I want to mention for a second, and they said once they basically thought that they had a little of each of the motivational gifts in their life. And that's true, because all seven of those motivational gifts are important. We all are to demonstrate serving. We all are to demonstrate teaching at times. I mean, what's part of the Great Commission? We're to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's the next thing? Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. We're all to be teachers at times. We're all to be exhorters, encouragers of those. We're all to be givers, giving generously. There's time all of us have to act as an administrator or even as a prophet. And there's certainly times that we are to demonstrate mercy. So my point in saying that is really twofold. All of these gifts are important, and as a believer, we are to function in all areas. But one of those areas is going to be what is going to motivate you. It's going to be your primary heart. It's going to be where your passion comes from to be able to do what you do for God's glory and honor. I also say this to say this. Some people might say, well, I don't have the gift of mercy, so I don't have to show mercy. Well, that's foolish. You do have to show mercy, because God has commanded all of us to show mercy. And just because you don't have the spiritual gift of mercy does not mean that you don't have to show mercy when God puts you in situations where mercy is needed. I remember, and I think I shared this a couple of weeks ago, one of the men that made a great impact on me on my life early on and was one of the men who taught me a lot of what I've shared with you about spiritual gifts was Pastor Peter Lohr down at Park Avenue Baptist in Titusville, Florida. And Peter he's gone home to be with the Lord now, but what the times that I heard him, he was just one of the most excellent preachers, teachers that I had ever heard. In fact, Robin and I, there was a few times we were down on Florida on vacation, we would drive a couple of hours just to hear Pastor Lord teach. That's the kind of impact he made on our lives. And I never was so surprised when he was talking about his spiritual gift. He said, my spiritual gift, my motivational spiritual gift is not teaching. And I went, surely it is. He said, my spiritual gift, my primary spiritual gift, my motivational spiritual gift, my passionate spiritual gift is the gift of service. He said, everything I do from a heart of serving. Even when it comes to the teaching, my motivation, my passion is to serve people, not just to teach people. So that helped me better understand some things going on in my own life. We all have to work. All these seven motivational areas at times has to be demonstrated from our lives. I'll use me as an example. I've told you I have the spiritual gift of prophecy. Mercy does not come easy for me. And as a pastor, obviously, there are many times I have to demonstrate mercy. I go to the hospital. I try not to act the prophet in the hospital. I try to show mercy. If I'm ministering to a family who in bereavement, mercy is needed. Even in counseling, there are times, and sometimes people need to hear from a prophet, but a lot of the times they need to hear mercy. Mercy's not my primary gift. So I have to trust God in a special way to give me the grace that I need to demonstrate mercy when mercy is the need of the moment. But that's not my spiritual gift. But I have to demonstrate mercy quite often in the ministry that God has placed me in. So while we have one motivational gift as our primary passion and drive behind what we do as believers, all those motivational gifts need to be demonstrated from our lives from time to time as a believer. Now, let me do this tonight. Let me move into the ministry gifts, and we'll be here for a couple of weeks, I'm certain. And I want to introduce the ministry and the manifestational gifts by asking a question. Why may it seem that a person has more than one gift? And I've said to you over and over again, I believe both from a biblical standpoint and from a practical standpoint, we have a single motivational gift that drives everything that we do spiritually. But with that being true, why then do I seem to have more than one gift at times? Or why is it other areas draw me? And it seems like I've got two or three or maybe even four. And I think the explanation for that comes when you begin to realize where the ministry gifts and the manifestational gifts fall in. The reason is that God will take your basic motivational gift, use it through a ministry gift, and will then give the manifestation as He so chooses. But again, the exercise of spiritual gifts will always be through your basic motivational gifts. The ministry gifts are found in two locations. They are found in Ephesians 4. They are found in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to deal with the Ephesians 4 gifts tonight because we will call these the foundational gifts of the church. And Paul makes that pretty clear when he lists these four or five gifts that are spiritual gifts that's been given to the church. You find these, Ephesians 4, verse 11, Paul writing, and he says this, "And he, God, gave some," speaking to the church, "gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." And in these are all four or five ministry gifts, but these are foundational to the church. Now, they are foundational not in the sense that they're really all that, they're more important, because all gifts are important. But they're foundational in the sense that God builds the church through these four or five areas. All of these foundational ministry gifts are given to do one thing. And Paul teaches this as in Ephesians 4. They're given to equip the saints, that's you, for the work of the ministry. God has given apostles. He's given prophets. He's given evangelists. He's given pastors and teachers to equip you to do the work of the ministry of the church. Now, in a lot of our churches, we've got that wrong. We think, well, ain't that what we hire a preacher to do? Aren't they supposed to do the ministry? Didn't we hire them to do all the work? And thus they sit, many church members, on their blessed assurance, thinking that the preacher is supposed to be doing all the work, when God didn't say that at all. In fact, the reason He's put a pastor in your way is to teach you how to do the work. You're supposed to be doing it, not that preacher. Now, the preacher has to do it too, but not because he's a preacher. He has to do it because he's a saint also. And by the way, when the Bible talks about equipping the saints, that's not saints like the Catholics have it. They've totally misunderstood that whole concept. When the Bible talks about the saints, you know who they're talking about? You. Now look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, saint." Can you do that? Now they might not look very saintly to you tonight, but they are. And by the way, you're a saint not because of what you do or what you did. You are a saint by the grace of God. God made you one. That word saint means holy one, not holy. And how did you get made holy? It wasn't by what you did. It's by what Jesus did. When you got saved, whether you realize it or not, the moment you got saved, God declared you as righteous as his son Jesus. He made you holy. That's the doctrine of justification. He made you like his son Jesus, not because you're worthy of it, not because you could earn it or deserved it. He did it by his grace. He's changed your very nature. And now you are a saint of God by calling, and God has called you and equipped you to serve as his saints. Now, here's my question to you tonight. Is that an amen or on me? Are you doing it? But God has given these foundational ministry gifts to the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the work of service. And that's quite a responsibility. What a privilege that is for all of us who serve in that position. There are four or five gifts listed here. And I'll explain in a minute why I thought, well, I won't do it tonight. I'll do it next week. I'll explain why you could figure either four or five, and it gets to that last gift listed. The first one is the word apostle, or the ministry gift of the apostle. The word apostle is used in various forms some 215 times in the Bible. Concerning the use of this word as a spiritual gift, there are basically three positions that people take or have understood about this spiritual gift of the apostle over the years. I'm going to give you all three of them, and I'll tell you which one I think is the true one, or which I think is correct. The gift or the position of the apostle, some believe, stopped after the passing of the 12 apostles and the apostle Paul. And the reason that some believe that is because the primary requirement of the original 12 or the original apostles of the church was one thing. Anybody know what it is? They had to witness the resurrected Jesus. They had to have seen him physically in the resurrected form. And of course, the 12 did. You take Judas out of the picture when he hung himself. They later voted by a draw to add a 12th apostle, which the church agreed upon. But later, Paul also claimed to be an apostle and made an argument for that case. Did Paul see the resurrected Jesus? Oh, buddy, he did. Remember him on the road to Damascus? What changed his life? He saw the resurrected Jesus. So that would have fit that. And there are many who believe that with those 12 and those 12 only, plus Paul, that gift ceased. There are others who believe the gift totally ceased after New Testament times. And I'm not sure all the reasons that they have for that, but they don't believe past the New Testament days, whatever they would define those to be, that gift is any longer functional. And then there are those who believe that gift is still a functional gift in today's world. My position on that is I'll tell you next Wednesday night, because our time is gone. Amen or oh me? Y'all can throw whatever you want to. I'm sorry. Come back and I'll tell you what I think is the right view on that one next week. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for more so much truth on spiritual gifts. Help us better understand them. Most importantly, help us to apply them to our hearts and our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Good to see you tonight.